League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Save big on everything for your next project when you shop at Menards. Dutch Boy's Durafighter interior paint is a paint and primer in one with a tough, lasting formula. It provides great scrub resistance and durability with remarkable hide and a smooth finish. Save big on Dutch Boy's Durafighter paint and start your next project today. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals happening this week.
Save big money at Menards.
We're going to cause trouble. Scott Farrell is calling the shots from the sideline. We're going to make fun of people. We're going to hurt people's feelings. It's Farrell on the bench. I believe in whipped cream with everything. All right, Farrell on the bench. So I'm still watching this Yankee game, and it's, I think, still 5-5. They were just out looking at Chapman, the whole medical staff, Boone, everybody, as if something was wrong. But he's in the dugout now, and he got through it the ninth, and now the Yankees are going up to bat in the bottom of the ninth. By the way, it's Wade at third, Allen and Wright. Look, I haven't watched every single inning of the Yankees youth movement while I've been watching the NBA Finals. I can tell you that much. You know, I watch the games in between the basketball at halftime and at, you know, ninth inning, whatever. And I'm not – I told you the other day that I watched the Mets-Pirate game on Sunday, the whole game. I almost – I couldn't believe it. It's the first time I've watched a nine-inning baseball game from start to finish in, I don't even know, maybe 5 years. The only games I watch in baseball from start to finish, Carver High, are playoff games. I watch October baseball like just as if it was the Stanley Cup or NBA playoffs or the NFL playoffs. I love baseball playoffs. I think they're great. And I like baseball. I just don't need to watch 162 games of nine innings. There's got to be something wrong with you if you do. Like, I get it. People love baseball. I love baseball. I think it's great. But I can't watch nine innings every night. I'll pull my teeth out.
I'm with you. I can't. It's very, very hard for me to sit there, especially in the middle of the regular season, to watch a full nine-inning game. I'll pop in and out. Even me betting baseball now, Scotty, is bet around things that don't involve watching the entire game. I'll give you, like, I'll either bet the first five innings, or I'll bet someone to hit a homer, like, and I'll just pop in when they're coming up the bat. Like, that's where I'm even at with baseball now, that I'm just betting certain things that happened in and around the game.
Do you think that you will watch baseball more when you're like, I hate to say it, but like a really old man? You know what I mean? Like when, like I could see, you know, everyone, like, so when I lived in Miami, right? And I have a condo there or whatever, you know the deal. And so everyone that was like my neighbor was like an old man or an old woman, one or the other. And they were usually widowed, right? One of them had lost their other half, right? Or they were both alive, whatever. But the one thing I noticed about living down there, and I've always said this on the air, is that old people, you know, in South Florida, they don't go to the Marlin games, but they watch them. They watch the games. They watch every game. They got the Marlin game on every night. They sit there and watch the whole thing, and they'll sit there and knit or read a magazine or a book, and they got that game on the TV as sure as I'm sitting there. And it's the weirdest thing. Every time I would like go out like to dinner or whatever, because I was a lot younger when I lived there and I was doing QAM and whatever, right? I would literally walk down the hallway and in like Boca and in Florida, they have long condos with like, you know, hundreds of condominiums, right? We welcome our radio affiliate, Sirius XM Channel 204. Mightier 1090 in San Diego near Tijuana. Do you want a Sportsman Radio Network, Sports Byline USA, Armed Forces Radio? Yankees have action going in the bottom of the ninth as Stanton hits a fly ball to right that the right fielder, I believe Harper, unless they took Harper out. So it was Miller. Miller misplayed it, and it went right over his head and landed in the warning track. It was over his head. He misplayed it. And now they got two on in the bottom of the ninth and nobody out. And LeMahieu's all the way over at third. And obviously, Stanton's at second. He had to have gotten a double out of that, right? Over to right fielder's head. So they got that action going. All right, so here's the deal. Like, in Florida, they have hundreds of condos in these buildings. They go from one end to the other. It's like a football field, right? And I would walk down to get to my elevator or to the stairs because I was really whatever, either or, right? And I would walk by the windows of the people, or their doors would be open, and they would have the baseball game on. And I'd be like, it's like, damn, every window, every door, every single condo had the same thing on. And it was like the Marlins. And the weird thing was, is that it was the year that they won the World Series in 03 when they beat the Yankees, right? Right. So I was down there for that year, and everybody was interested in them. And particularly from July on, July, August, September, they went on a run, and they got in the wild card, and then they won it all, right? So every time I turned around, everybody was watching the Marlins. So my question to you is, my point is I felt like, you know, like, let's say I'm hypothetically, because today they came out with a thing that said, your life expectancy dropped. Did you see that? 1.5 years because of the COVID. And wow, it's 1.5 for whites, like 2.9 for blacks, 3.5 for Hispanics. I mean, like, I couldn't even believe this stuff. They're coming out with numbers now of how long you're going to live in this day and age. And I'm thinking to myself, if I make it to, you know, let's say I made it to 75 and I'm sitting there between 75 and 80 years old, I'm probably going to watch the baseball game every single night, the whole nine innings. And I may get a drinking problem going again. So that's the deal. I think that, like, when I get older, I think I'll watch baseball, like, more and, you know, get into it. Let's say I lived in, hypothetically, let's say I lived in San Diego, because I love it there. It's cool. If I lived there, I'd watch the Padres every single day, and I'd probably go to games. It's weird because my father, as you know, Carver High, he went to every Pirate game. He literally went to probably 70 of 80, what is it, 81 games? He went to 70 of 81 games every year of his life. He went every night. My dad was a notorious season ticket holder that went to every game. He'd go by himself. He didn't care if his wife didn't go with him. That was not my mother. Okay. Let's be clear. My mom would go down there with him once in a while when I was a kid, but she didn't care about it one way or the other. She just went to have a beer and some popcorn. She didn't care about it. She's like, whatever. She liked looking at people. She liked talking to people. She was an entertainer. She was a pianist. So she liked people. She liked to party and have a good time. But he was into the game. So for my entire childhood, my father kept a scorebook at every game. So he did. He kept a scorebook for every game of every season. So in my house as a child, this guy had scorebooks from the 50s and 60s and 70s and 80s and 90s and 2000, all the way until he was dead. He kept scorebooks of every game. He kept a score at the game. Now, you know you're a sick, demented baseball fan when you go to the game and you actually keep score like you're working in the press box. And you see fans that do that periodically, but there's really, Carver High, there's only usually one guy in each section that does that. Like, one, you'll see one guy that actually does that, that's like a real hardcore baseball fan that keeps score when they're there at the game. Because, you know, guys, they sell programs when you go into the stadium, but most people buy that program just to have a souvenir of the game, right? But no one really is keeping score in any game. People are stuffing their faces and getting drunk. But my dad did not drink, so he went and kept score of every game he ever went to. And I mean to tell you, somewhere, somehow, this woman, my stepmother, whatever you want to call her, she has all those scorebooks, unless she threw them out, which she probably did. And no offense to her, I don't care. What am I going to do, sit back and look at them? But honestly, if you did go back and look at them, you would be blown away. Blown away. You would absolutely cable in your trousers because of the names in those lineups every night for 60 years, 70 years of baseball. Like the greatest names that have ever played and donned a uniform in Major League Baseball, he has on those lineup cards every night in those scorebooks. The greatest players that ever lived. You name it, he saw them. You name it, he watched the game and he marked down Mickey Mantle's 5 at-bats. I have pictures in this studio right here where I'm sitting right now, signed and autographed by Bill Mazeroski when he beat the Yankees in 1960. Believe me, you, I got a boatload of scorebooks filled with Bill Mazeroski at-bats. Willie Stargell, Dave Parker, Manny Sanguian, Bill Madlock, all those great Pirate, you know, and all those great pitchers, Blass and Rooker and all of them, every one of them, Candelaria, Tecolvi, it goes on and on. Bob Friend, I mean, every one of them, Harvey Haddix, every National League player ever that ever played, Strawberry, you name it, Keith Hernandez, every Mike Schmidt, Pete Rose. I could go on and on. I'd be sitting here all night. I could sit here all night and name players. You know, every player that ever played the game for like 70 years, he has every one of them in a scorebook at a game. He went to every game. So I could actually see myself, believe it or not, transforming into that person again. Because when I was a kid growing up, I went to every Pirate game you could imagine. And before I lived in Pittsburgh, I went to Cubs and White Sox games. I've been to Comiskey Park. I've showered in center field. I saw Harry Carey when he was the White Sox play-by-play guy. And then he was the Cubs play-by-play guy. I've been to Wrigley Field a million times. I lived in Wrigleyville. I lived with a chick in Wrigleyville for 2 years, a block from the stadium, and two blocks from where Jeff Dahmer plucked his last victim. Right in a gay bar at the end of the street. Boom, done. You're dead. I'm going to eat you. I mean, honestly, I lived right there, and I went to a million games. I've been hammered at Wrigley Field at Murphy's 1,000 times. I've been to the Pirate, so many Pirate games that make your head spin. I used to go down there and just sit there every night with him, and just that's how I grew up. I didn't care about school or anything. I just was like, I wanted to be a sportscaster. That's all I cared about was you know, going to Penguin, Pirate, Steeler, Pitt games. I watched Dan Marino play every single game he played in college. I went to every single game Joe Montana played in college in South Bend. So I could see myself doing that again as like an old man where that's all I do is either be a season ticket holder and go to the games or sit at home and watch every single game or go to every home game and watch every single road game on TV, one or the other. I don't have a problem with it. I think at certain times of your life, you know what I mean? Like when I'm sitting here going on 56 next week, and I'm busy, I'm doing Coast to Coast, I'm doing Pharrell on a Bench, I got a family, I got kids, I got a kid, you know, 16, I got a 13-year-old, I got a wife, I'm super busy. I don't have time to sit around and watch 9-inning baseball games. So the first one I've watched in a long time was that Mets-Pirate game, and I was like, and it was such a great game because it had everything. It had Rojas slipping out on the umpire, getting himself suspended, and they score 6 runs in the first, and then the Mets come back and win 7-6. That game had everything. It was crazy, including bumping umpires and everything else. So I thought it was great to finally watch a game from start to finish, every inning, every pitch. And it's the first time I've done it in years, except for playoff games. And I don't know. I cannot watch baseball every night, all night long, every inning, every pitch. How about this? They had two on and nobody out, and they didn't score in the bottom of the ninth. I just looked up. They're in the 10th now. Phillies with a runner at third, two outs, and it's still 5-5, and Segura's up. Can you believe after Stanton got that ball over the outfielder Miller's glove and they had runners at second and third and they didn't score to win the game? Can you believe it? I'm telling you, this game, it's destined to lose.
Yep, they hit a little comebacker to the drawn-in infield. They threw LeMahieu out at home for that out. They did not get any runs across, so they did an awful job.
They just got out of that inning. Segura flew out to Guardy Party.
I mean, honestly, win the game. You got the runner at second. Move him to third. Move him home. That's it. I mean, end the game here.
Win the game. You think they could win the game. But of course not.
Game should be over already.
Game should have already been over when they had a two on and nobody out in the ninth.
Not only that,
after
when they
all that
brought
hard
in that
work that –
that gas tank, Nick Nelson, when they brought him in the game, should have been over at that point.
Your boy, you know what he should be doing? Playing in the NBA with all them bounce passes he's throwing. Your boy is knocking people over with bounce passes. Your boy Sanchez got one in the onions. He was pitching balls 5 feet short of the plate. Trevor and I got very excited the other day when it was Joe Torre's 81st birthday. In honor of it, he drank a cup of Bigelow tea. It's Pharrell on a bench. All right, so I wanted to talk about the Kraken. And the first thing I wanted to say was I was very upset the other day when you heard me in the break on the TV show making fun of that Michael Wilbon guy. So I don't have anything against him. I don't disrespect him or not like him. Here's a drive. Here's a drive to the wall. Game over. Yankees win 6-5 as Sanchez has played it on the fly from Allen. Allen, the youngster, getting involved with a shot to deep right. And he's being raped by his teammates right now. They tore his clothes off. They're giving him the Altuve treatment. He's naked on
the
field.
That's LeMaire. We have so many new guys on the Yankees. We don't know who each of them are yet.
Is that the guy that got the hit?
That's 39 is LeMaire, yeah.
Yeah, well, they just said Allen was up to bat.
Did they? That says LeMaire on the screen. We don't even know who these guys are. That's definitely not Allen.
It's 39. Is that LeMaire?
Yes.
Yeah, so it must be what? Was Allen up next? I don't understand what happened.
Possibly.
Because I just want to see the... I want to see the play-by-play here, at the very least.
Yeah, look, Allen was on deck. LeMaire hit for Gardner.
All right, so there you go. So LeMaire got the hit, and Allen was up next. But LeMaire's another one of their youngsters, right?
Yes.
Well, there you have it. So they win the game. There you go. And I want to see what he did in the game. So he's a pinch hitter there and wins the game, right? And Allen would have been up next. 1-for-4 with an RBI. Then Wade. And then they had Gittens and Florial. That's crazy. But he hit a shot to deep right off the wall, and that did it. And that won the game for him. So what's funny, you're right about them, is that I don't even know who that is. I'm sitting there watching the game. I'm like, I don't even know who these kids are.
Yeah.
It's crazy because they're completely void of knowledge of anyone. Like, no one knows who these kids are. I mean, I'm like sitting there watching going, who is
that?
But look at
how much juice they've brought to the team in the past week.
There's no doubt about it. I don't know if they can sustain that with these no names. Do you think they can? Like, seriously, down the stretch, the rest of the way, they're going to stay hot for two months?
I don't think you can expect these kids to do what they're doing in the last week for the next 2 months. You need eventually the guys that you pay $30 million a piece to come and you know, carry the mail a little bit.
Well, considering the fact that none of them do it.
Right.
I mean, considering that not one of them does anything ever, you know, Judge does when he's not out of the lineup. And when he's not sick or whatever, I mean, he misses enough time for you. Does Judge miss enough for you?
He's got to be coming back soon, right? I mean, geez, it's been a week. I guess probably early next week, 10 days, 14 days, whatever he's supposed to be out.
It's got
to
be. So what is the deal with Stanton? Are they still using him as just a DH, or have they actually put him in the field?
He hasn't been in the field yet, but they have a series early next week, I believe. Let me see when the series is. Yes, they go to Miami to play the Marlins next weekend, Friday, Saturday,
that's
Sunday, 31-1. So they need, there was some talk from Boone the other day that they're starting to give Giancarlo the glove a little bit to prepare him to play some outfield down in Florida that weekend.
Against his former team and a replay of the 2003 World Series between the Yankees and Marlins. It's a revisiting the past weekend down in South FLA. And that is, that's when I basically come home from my trip. They're playing Friday, Saturday, and Sunday in Miami. So I wish I was there for that. I'd actually like to go see that. I would have liked to have been in Miami and gone to those games, Yankees and Marlins. That would have been fun. Road trip, but I can't because I'll be flying back to New York from Cali. It is what it is. I am kind of tripped out about traveling. I'm tripped out about airports. I'm not that tripped out, to be honest with you, about masks, because I wore a mask for a year and a half every day. I worked out with a mask on. I played basketball even with a mask on. It was awful, but I did it. I did what I had to do, right? Basically, the airports are masked 100%. You have to wear a mask the whole time that you're in an airport or on a flight. And then the people that don't wear them, because there's constant arguments now breaking out at airports and on airplanes. I don't know if you've seen that, Carver. It's become the number one sport in this country is people refusing to wear the mask.
Really?
And refusing to put on a mask on an airplane. And there's tons of flights that have been deboarded and boarded and deboarded and boarded because of people that won't wear masks. And then what they do with them is they fine them $10,000. So how stupid do you have to be?
Like, and that's not like, you know, like, honestly, like, for a normal person, like, that's no joke. Like, this isn't like one of those NHL fines a guy $5,000 for hacksawing somebody in the, you know, in the skull. Like $10,000, you know, your average person flying, like, that's no joke. Like,
I mean,
I mean,
your plane ticket's at least $500, $400, $500 in coach. Imagine that you're going to get a bill for $10,000 because you're a smart ass. Or because you're bringing your politics into it, or nobody tells me what to do.
Yeah.
No one's gonna force me to wear a mask or my children. You know, who do you think you are? And those people now are being A, fined $10,000, or B, they're arrested and put in jail. And then the fights break out on airplanes now every day. And then everyone that gets in a fight on an airport, in an airport or on an airplane, they all go to jail, 100% of them. I can guarantee you that's what they do now. There's no, you know what? You guys just had a huge fist fight. Why don't you both go your separate ways? We'll get your bags and you can go home and just, you know, cool off. Everybody cool off. They don't do that now. Then every single airline, including the worst airlines on the face of the earth, they're all prosecuting every single person that fights, argues, or hurts, or swings, or throws hands to a stewardess or to another passenger, or they don't wear a mask. You get fined $10,000. $10,000. And if you get in a fist fight, you're going to jail. And like, how stupid do you have to be of a human being I mean, honestly, knowing that that's what's coming, knowing that that's the rule, it's simple. You don't wear the mask, you're not getting on the flight. And then when you're on the flight, you don't wear the mask, you're getting a $10,000 fine. They're going to come in. The federal agents are going to come in. They're going to handcuff you and take you off the plane. You're not going anywhere. You're not going on your trip. You're not flying anywhere. And you're not going to win because all these people have these temper tantrums. Have you ever seen it on TV? Like, they show it all the time on the World News Tonight.
And I get it's like a stressful situation. Like traveling is very stressful. I get it. But like the main thing, like even before all this happened, like when I'm going to an airport, I just want to get in and out of that place as fast as humanly possible. Like, I don't want any nonsense, whatever. Like, and I can get where you can get annoyed by, like, a delay or, like, a pain in, you know, some person next to you can't stand. Like, just keep your eyes on the prize. Like, you just want to get out of that place and get to your destination as fast as you can. You start getting into screaming matches with people or, like, I'm not putting my mask on. You're just wasting time, and longer you're going to be in the situation, and you just make it worse for everybody around you.
Did you see the one the other day? They had one on the World News Tonight with David Muir. They showed it was a white guy fighting with this black family, and, I mean, it got violent. I mean, they were throwing hands, and I mean, there were bodies flying through the seats. I mean, it was the ugliest thing I've seen in a while, and they all went to jail, every one of them. They all went to jail, and the white people were screaming at the black people. The black people were screaming at the white people and blaming each other, and there was blame going around, and they cuffed every one of them. They all went to jail. It's simple. You're going to jail. You're going to get fined $10,000 each, everybody. And have you ever seen these airlines lately when they interview them, the CEOs and the head of security for these airlines? They're just like, we are done with unruly passengers. We're done with it. So you want to F around? Come visit us. See what happens to you. Because they are not effing around. How about this? They're training stewardesses how to attack people, how to fight, how to stop a fight, how to tackle someone, hogtie them, get a bunch of people on top of them, and they carry people out like a slaughtered pig, and they take them out and they put them in jail. So, I mean, it's beyond me. I can't even, it's beyond reproach how stupid people are. It really is. Like, I got to tell you, you've flown with me a million times to sporting events. I mean, I don't even talk. I don't even talk to anybody. I don't say a word to anybody. I don't even want to know you. I barely talk to the stewardess. Can I get a coffee? Thanks so much. I appreciate you greatly. Thank you. I'm just going to sleep now. Carver High seen me. He gets on the plane. I'm already sleeping. I'm sleeping in first class, son. I am everywhere I go first class. I can't sit in coach. All right, Pharrell on the bench. So let's talk about the Kraken and their draft. I have to tell you, you know, we watch a lot of hockey and we love hockey and we know hockey. And I'm just less than thrilled for this team that they've selected. I mean, there's what is exciting about this team, Carver High, besides nothing? Like, literally. Didn't they have a chance to go after some really big names and have like some clout that have some juice? And they did nothing. I mean, what did they do? What did Ron Francis actually do other than, I mean, he picked a bunch of, I mean, look, let's go down the list. Let's go down the list.
There's 6 to 8 really solid NHL players on this list. There is, but not like the big name, like, Vegas made such a huge splash because they got Flurry right out of the gate. And Seattle doesn't have that yet. Now, who knows what happens if they make a trade between now and the next couple days, or they sign a big free agent, but they didn't get it through this expansion draft like Vegas did, that's for sure.
Yanni Gord was a good player.
Definitely. That is and now he's going to miss some time, though, too. He's having surgery after the cup run, so he's not even going to be available to them until probably November or December.
Well, that's awful news. Jared McCann got high grades. The Penguins, 32 points in 43 games, and he plays both ends of the ice. Fair enough. What do you think of the goalie?
Yeah, Dredger played very well this year when given the opportunity in Florida. So that's a kind of guy that they're taking a gamble on. They think that they've saw enough out of him during this season that he can kind of be their guy. The goalie stuff is head-scratching to me. You know, along with Dredger, they ended up taking Vanacek, who played a lot for Washington when they had some goalies hurt, and this kid Decord out of Ottawa. There was the goalie on Minnesota, the young kid. They didn't take him. Now, maybe they had a side deal to not take him. We'll find out tomorrow. They could have took 2 years of Jonathan Quick. I don't blame him too much for Carey Price, Scotty. I know that was the name everybody wanted them to take, kind of be their Flurry. You guys making 10.5 on the cap for the next 7 years. That was going to be a real tough pill to swallow, but they need to still pick up another goalie as far as I'm concerned.
Well, they got three, and one of them's good. And the third one is a minor
Dredger
leaguer.
Very good. Dredger will be very good. Yeah, the kid from Ottawa is a minor leaguer.
Decord.
Yeah.
Okay, and then Dennis Chalowski of the Red Wings, he was a first-round pick in 2016, has done nothing. He got a lousy grade. And then Carson Twierenski of the Flyers, he's terrible.
Yeah.
Brandon Tanev of the Penguins, he's got a name a little bit, but he really doesn't produce anything.
You know what they took, Scotty? They took a lot of sandpaper guys. You know, like the kind of guys, like the third and fourth line guys. I feel like they took a lot of those guys. Tanev is a great sandpaper guy. And so is Gord. I mean, Gord's got some offensive skill too, but Gord, Tanev, there's a couple other guys here who are pretty good sandpaper guys too. Donskoy, who was on Colorado. You know, they took a few of those guys.
Who are these players? Morgan Geeky.
Yeah, that was, and apparently
Gavin
that's
Bayreuther. Who in the F is that?
And they could have had Max Domi there from Columbus. They left Domi unprotected, and instead they took that kid Bayreuther. I feel like they were filling out a lot of the bottom.
Is Eberle from there?
No, Eberle is not from that area. Look, Eberle they needed to have somebody who could score, and I still believe they're going to make some other moves. And I think that was also could have been a deal. We'll find out tomorrow. I would bet, Scotty, that there's a possibility that the Islanders sent maybe like a fifth or a sixth round pick to Seattle to take Eberle because they wanted to get the $5.5 million cap hit off their book.
Right. St. Louis Blues, Vince Dunn.
Good player.
Tarasenko.
Tarasenko, of course, was a big name that they didn't take. Vince Dunn, very good player. Young defenseman who could score. That's not a bad pick, but that's one of the few good ones.
All right. Jamie Oleksiak.
Yes, the kid from. Yes, good player also. They actually signed him. Him and Dredger, they've already given deals to, Scotty. Those guys were going to be UFAs, and they gave some good money to Olesek and to Dredger, so they've signed them to multi-year deals.
Mason Appleton of the Forelopeg Jets.
Couldn't even tell. You know, Appleton's played a little bit here and there. Another sandpaper guy.
Cali Yarncroc of the Predators.
Young kid, has a little bit of talent, but hasn't proven himself in the league yet.
Carson Soucy of the Wild.
No idea.
John Quenneville of the Blackhawks. They wish it was Joel Quenneville.
Wow, of course, yes. And John, you know, another guy. He hasn't really done much in the league. He's been around for a little while.
Tyler Pitlick played with Arizona for a while. Adam Larson of the Oilers. They
Good
like
move.
Him.
One of their few guys on here. Like I said, there's some very capable NHL players, and it looks like on D they've gotten a few. Whether it's Olesek, whether it's Larson, they took a really solid
deal.
Yes, they
gave him 4 years, $16 million.
Yes, so another good move for Seattle. And Mark Giordano, who won the Norris Trophy about 3 or 4 years ago, but is up there in age. He's probably going to be, you know, your veteran
captain
type of guy. Yes, yes. So he doesn't have much time.
He's pretty washed. He's got 2 years left. Cole Lind. Chico Lind.
No idea.
Hayden Fleury. Sure isn't Marc-Andre Fleury.
Well, they took the brothers. These two guys are brothers, you know. Hayden Fleury and Cale Fleury. Montreal and Anaheim. So they put the two brothers together. How about that?
Curtis McDermott of the Kings. They gave him an F grade.
Yeah.
And Alexander True from the Sharks.
No idea.
No goals in 19 NHL games. You cannot even deny
now, look,
that this team is complete ass.
Well, so far it is.
They look like the Thrashers.
I got to admit, I thought that they would add a little bit more salary than this. Like, there was a lot of players who make some money that were available that could have filled out some top six forward spots for this team, whether it was Duchesne or James Van Riemsdyk from the Flyers or Tarasenko. You know, you go on and on. There was some guys out there who could score. And for whatever reason, that's not the way Ron Francis at Seattle wants to do this. They want to seemingly build this from the ground up. Maybe they look at what Vegas has done, Scotty. And I know that it's great that Vegas has made the playoffs every year, but they also haven't won. And now they have a cap problem there. So maybe they're looking at that and saying, we're going to try to do this a different way. I don't know.
Did you see your boy Marshawn Lynch was announcing draft picks?
Yeah, I watched a little bit. And ESPN did get kind of sandbagged today. This was their first big, you know, this is their first event since reclaiming the NHL rights. So they have all their guys out there. I actually thought they should have went with somebody else.
So I don't understand. Like, where is Everly from? Because Everly says he had the idea this could happen in notes he got here 10 hours ago, said that he checked into a hotel under a different name and hopes nobody knew he was in town. Are you sure he's not from there?
He's not from Seattle, no. I mean, he's a Canadian kid. Maybe he's a Western Canadian kid. Let me find out. He's from Regina.
Regina.
Which, of course, yes. No, I mean, he doesn't have any. He's, you know, Regina's not really Western Canada, Saskatchewan. Look, I think that Eberle had an idea it was going to happen because the island.
I'm going to check into a hotel under the name Jordan Eberle.
Yeah.
That's what I'm going to do the next time we go to Vegas, you and I, when we go to the Spence fight with Pacquiao. We got to check in as Josh Bailey and Jordan Eberle.
I don't think this is the team you'll see when the Kraken take the ice in October. I think that they have some.
Well, why not?
I think that they've still got to fill a lot of cap space. They need to get to the floor. They're not even close. So they must have some trades and signings coming their way over the next couple of days.
So you think it's going to turn into something that they're actually going to get some players? Because this team sucks.
Yes. I don't have a lot of faith in Ron Francis. No, this team right now is not good enough at all. And they need a name. Like, they need to have somebody that they can put on all the posters in Seattle.
Like, this is like the Thrashers. I had a bigger name than any of them. More people knew me than they knew them. I'm not even kidding you. Everyone in Atlanta knew me.
Here's what Vegas had that worked so well for them. They had Fleury was so marketable right out of the gate. Three-time Stanley Cup winner Marc-Andre Fleury is playing for the expansion Vegas Golden Knights. And then they took some guys that we hadn't heard of, and they ended up being really good producers for them. So when we look at these names right now, is there a William Karlsson or a Jonathan Marchessault amongst this group that we don't know about yet? Sure.
No.
There could be. Well, you don't know that yet. But here's what they don't have that's more important. They don't have a Marc-Andre Fleury. They don't have a marketable name that they can sell.
The trade freeze is 1 o'clock Thursday. And then that, at 1:15, they should start dealing some of these crappy players they got. I mean, honestly.
I mean, it's basically Donskoy on the top line right now. They need to make some moves.
I'd rather have the Donskoy ballet than the lineup that they have right now. I'm not kidding. Oh, God.
And the ESPN thing was awful. It was bad.
I didn't watch. I watched about 10 minutes of it.
It was tough. It was tough.
Yeah,
well, it didn't help them that you knew every player on the team by noon today. So there really wasn't
tomorrow,
a lot of incentive to watch it.
Aren't they tomorrow actually unveiling the NHL regular season schedules at like 6 o'clock on ESPN tomorrow?
Yes, they are. 6 o'clock tomorrow night. It's already leaked out that Seattle will open against Vegas.
Are they going to have Maria Taylor do it?
I don't think so.
Thank you.
I think she's on a plane to Tokyo, right? She's going to be part of the Olympic coverage for NBC.
She got a mini extension. They did that just to bother Rachel. Gave her another contract and then gave her more work. What do you think? Somebody's got to get, what's his name? I can't think of his name off the top of my head. Your boy, the coach, the old Kings coach that's on there.
Melrose
got to clean up that goatee of his, man. What a mess. Yeah, you know you got a problem when all the hair is going into your teeth on your mustache.
But they put the boringest guy on the coverage tonight, Dominic Moore, they put up there with Fowler to introduce the picks. I mean, it was boring. It was awful.
Fowler, what does he have to do with hockey?
He introduced the players tonight.
Oh, God, they should have left him at Wimbledon. I think he's a great announcer, but he has nothing to do with hockey. Why didn't they have Steve Levy do it? All right, for all on the bench, the Dodgers lead the Giants 2-1 in the bottom of the sixth, two outs. And nobody on. Dodgers up a run. Cubs and Cardinals are in the bottom of the ninth at Busch. 2-2 there. And the Cardinals have runners at first and second with two outs. And those are the only games still going on. By the way, the Padres-Braves game was suspended. The second game of the doubleheader was suspended with San Diego leading 5-4. Game suspended. Carver High says they play out in San Diego later in the schedule. When is it, August?
Late September.
Oh, late September. There you go. So late September, they'll finish that game. It was 5-4 Padres when they suspended it. Must have been weather. Twins 7-2 over the White Sox. The Indians beat the Astros 5-4. When the Astros came back down 4-2, they tied it 4-4 and lost 5-4. Tigers 4-2 over the Rangers. The Marlins won that game in 10 over the Nationals. I needed that one. Cover 3-1 Marlins. Rockies doubled up the Mariners 6-3. Royals did the same thing to the Brewers, swept the season series from Milwaukee. That's a shock. Mets 7-0 over the Reds. Mets keep winning. First game of that game was Padres-Braves doubleheader. San Diego won that one 3-2 and 7. Rays 5-4 over the Orioles. Red Sox 7-4 over the Jays. And the Yankees get it done in 10, 6-5 over the Phillies after they blew a 5-2 lead. And it was 5-5. They had a chance in the bottom of the ninth with two on and nobody out. Couldn't score, but they get it done in the 10th inning with a shot to right by Lemaire. And Sanchez scored the winning run, and the Yankees swept two from Philly. Now they start up a series tomorrow at Fenway, four games with the Red Sox. That should be good. The Kraken drafted a bunch of hacks. Everybody's excited in Seattle. They got nobody on their team. We got a decent goalie, though. Decent. He's not Marc-Andre Fleury. But I'll tell you what, I'm not taking old man Price with his bad hip. I think his last hurrah was that series right there. He lost in the finals. And we'll see if the Olympics are still going on tomorrow. See you on 4 o'clock, coast to coast tomorrow. Good night.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.